in the 14th chapter of the book of Exodus. Stand, please, or get your place, and let's start reading at verse number 29. We're going to read the last three verses, verse 29, 30, and 31 of the book of Exodus chapter 14. Here we go, 14th chapter, 29th verse. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. You can be seated. And I pray tonight God will touch the service. Pray with me, please. Father, I pray that You'd give us wisdom and understanding, Lord, to rightly divide the word of truth. Lord, may we not tonight add anything to it or take anything away from it, but God, may we stand clear and true and strong upon the blessed word of God. I pray that You might bless the hearts of these people here and touch souls, and we'll give You the praise and the glory, for it's in Jesus' name we humbly ask it all. Amen. Now, I want to look at chapter 14, the last verse, just for a minute. We dealt with the Red Sea a little bit. I'll deal just a few things about it and then get into the 15th chapter and look at something different tonight. In that 14th chapter, as they come through the Red Sea, the Bible says something happened when they saw the Israelites, they saw the Egyptians washed up on the shore, saw the dead ones. Here's what they did. They saw the great work which the Lord God had done to the Egyptians. And the two things that happened, they feared God and they believed the Lord. And they also believed the man of God. And so that's something that's important today, something we need to do today. We need to fear God and believe the Lord and the men of God. Amen. We need to give attention to what needs to be given attention to. This land has turned the Word of God around. Now, going back to the 14th chapter, verse number 16, I want to point out two or three things about this that I didn't get into last week. But the Bible said in the 14th chapter, verse 16, But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. In a previous message we preached in the book of Exodus, we talked about the rod. What is the rod the type of? The Word of God. So Moses lifted the rod. Now we said that was Aaron's rod, that was Moses' rod, and another place said that was the rod of God. It was really the rod of God used by the instruments of men. And so we see that he lifted the Word. And that's what we're to do in preaching the Word of God, is to lift the Word of God. So it was the Word of the Lord that caused the sea to divide. Amen? So the Word of God is what makes changes in everything around us. Also, the Bible said, and I read it in one of the verses tonight, that there was a wall of water on one side and on the other side, and they went through the valley. That little place that they went through in the Red Sea reminds me of what God said, that we are of the straight and narrow way. Amen. Brother, that's what it's a type of, walking the straight and narrow. And so they got to the other side on the straight and narrow way. In verse number 21, notice what Moses did. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Now, anytime you find it in the Word of God, the wind is a representative or a symbol and symbolic of the Spirit of God. Now, God saves you, first of all, by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. You're not saved outside anything else tonight. That. Amen. The Word of God and the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God that moved upon your soul that caused you to see that you are lost and undone without God. And it was the Word of God preached to you that brought that to your attention. So the wind blowing that night, the strong east wind, is a type of the Spirit of God that God uses. That's what we're talking about in the book of Exodus, a bunch of types and so forth. And so then we see that God parted the waters and they came over on dry land. Now they've just left Egypt. They've just come through. That's the first thing that's happened now. And I'm talking about since the Egypt. Of course, there were some things happened before then. Remember, they put the blood across the top and down the side post. Now we've got the blood. Amen. We see the blood. All these Israelites that left Egypt are a type of the born-again believer that set out on a journey for God. Now, this is remember what Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now remember that. That's in the Word of God here. We'll find that in verse number 13 of the 14th chapter. Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now look where these people are. They've got the blood across the top and down the side when they left Egypt. They're gone now out on the journey headed toward the wilderness. Actually, it's supposed to be headed toward a place called Canaan's land, or the land that's flowing with milk and honey. But they had to go through the wilderness. God chose them to come through the wilderness first. We read that and talked about that the other day. So now what's happened? They've got into the wilderness. And going through that Red Sea. When they got to the Red Sea, they looked behind them. And Pharaoh's army was behind them. And to keep safety to the children of God, God put a cloud in the sky. And He put a pillar of fire there at night. The cloud come between them in the daytime that they couldn't reach them, and the fire come by night so that they could not get to the other side, and God give them the safety and took care of them. On the right hand side, if you'll study the terrain of where it's at, they had mountains. And so they couldn't escape that way. They couldn't go to the other side because there was mountains on that side. But ahead of them there was the Red Sea. So they looked like that they were in a wet sea, and they looked like they were just enclosed in, and there was no way of escape. Now the Bible teaches us in the Word of God that there's only one way to heaven. Is that right? Through Jesus Christ, He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And that's only one way they had. And brother, it had to be the hand of God. Is salvation tonight not of God? It is it not? Amen. Salvation is of the Lord. Nothing else can get you saved. It's got to come by the hand of God. And if there's going to be any redemption to the people of God, God's got to do it. So He parts the water, brings them over on the other side. It's a type of our salvation, saved by the grace of God. Blood's been applied behind them, amen. And now they're set free on the other side. Now they're in the wilderness. Now, I preached on chapter 15 some weeks back and talked about what went on with Miriam when they begin to have the timbrels and the dances, and they begin to magnify Christ, and they begin to exalt because the horse and the rider has been thrown into the sea, and they had victory when they got out. But I want to skip down in the 15th chapter tonight to verse number 22. I want us to read a few things here. The Bible said, "So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur." And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now this is important. I want you to look at this. And notice some things. There's four wildernesses in the book of Exodus. There are several wildernesses that the Israelites traveled. And they're listed in Numbers and Deuteronomy. But we're not going to look at them. I just want to look at the four, or just mention them to you to put in your notes. And we'll cover these as we come to them. There's four wildernesses that are mentioned in the book of Exodus. Number one, we find the wilderness of the Red Sea, chapter number 13. Back up so you can mark this in your Bible. And there's an importance there. The Bible said in Exodus chapter 13, verse 18, "But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea." Mark that in your Bible. Put that in your notes. The wilderness of the Red Sea. Now when they got the wilderness of the Red Sea, they had problems, did they not? Amen. They come up against a sea that they could not cross. And we just talked to you just for a few minutes now and told you how that God got them over. The second wilderness that they got into, of course now we know it, all that this is wilderness land. They was in the wilderness. They were in houses in Egypt. They were in the habitations in Egypt. They had a place to go at night. Now they're in the wilderness with no roof over their head. Can you see the strange thing that's happening to the people of God? And you say, well, look, there's something going on. Is that what God is in? Well, I want to share that with you tonight. We're going to kind of make some typologies and look at it and show you what's happening. When we get to the 15th chapter, we find now in verse 22 that they're in the wilderness of Shur. S-H-U-R. And so that wilderness of Shur, that word Shur means wall. If you want to put that in your notes, Shur means wall. Now we're going to notice three things in the 15th chapter, three different places. In verse number 23, "And when they came to Mara," or Mara, we'll find tonight that they came to a place called Mara. Mara means bitter or bitterness. And we are learning a little bit, or we'll learn a little bit about that in the book of Ruth as we begin to make our studies on Wednesday night out of the book of Ruth. And then we find there's another place in verse 27 in the 14th chapter. And they came to Elam. Elam means the strong. It means the strong. And we're going to talk about that when we get to it. But the second wilderness that they got in was the wilderness of Shur. In chapter number 16, we find another wilderness that they're involved in. And they took their journey from Elam. They left Elam, the place of the strong, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin. They got to the wilderness of Sin. That's the third wilderness that they traveled into. If you'll go over in your Bible, chapter 19 of the book of Exodus, we'll find the fourth wilderness that they traveled in. Exodus chapter 19, and we'll find it tonight in verse number 1. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. So there's four wildernesses that they traveled in just the book of Exodus alone. Sometimes we overlook these things in just reading through. Now, I want to mention to you and give you the significance of just a little bit of that. We'll deal with it more in detail as we get to it. I don't have the time for it tonight. I'm just going to have to find a place to unhitch and quit anyhow. Amen. I can just see that now. And so we'll find us a stopping place in just a little bit and go home. But as we look into this thing, we'll find out in the Word of God that every time there's a wilderness, there's problems. Did you know every time you get in the wilderness, the wilderness is not the easy road to travel? Amen. When you get in the wilderness, you know where the wilderness is? Usually the low part. It's not the mountaintops. It's not any height to it. The wilderness is the desert. The wilderness is the barren land. The wilderness is where it looks like there's no life and everything's dull and drab. Now, you spent most of your life right there, hadn't you? Amen. Spiritually speaking, I'll guarantee you, you have pouted more than you shouted. Amen. You grumbled and griped more than you praised God. Is that right? Amen. Get with me now. As the fellow said, get with the program. Amen. We have pouted more than we've shouted. We're down in the dumps more than we are up in the air. Amen. The least little thing to knock us off our feet. We're so strong. We're the saints of God. We've got God in heaven on our side. Nothing's impossible with God. 10 minutes later, we're pouting. Why, God can do anything. God can change anything. God can, He's unlimited. He is the infinite God. He knows all things. He can do everything. And then you say, I wonder what God's going to do with me. 10 minutes later. Now, we've lived our lives like that. Well, we've been in the wilderness of the Red Sea. We've been in the wilderness of this, and we're looking at tonight, sure, the wall. We've been there. And it's a type of coming up against the wall when we can't go no further, can't do anything. Hey, many times in my life, I've been against the wall. I ain't been able to accomplish anything or get anywhere. But I'll tell you, there's a God in heaven that can do things. Brother, when I didn't think God was on the throne, He was on the throne. Amen. So you know what I'm talking about tonight. Looking at this. Chapter 15 is victory and rejoicing. But not all the way through. We come to verse 22 and we find out now they're in the wilderness. Now let's look at about something about this. Where's their destination supposed to be? Canaan's land. How long would it have taken them to get there? According to Deuteronomy, 11 days. They could have left Egypt and got into Canaan land in 11 days. But the reason they didn't get there in 11 days is because they set their hopes not too high. They didn't look far enough ahead. They didn't want to run to the Canaan's land. They wanted to do other things, and that's what's happened to us. It took them 40 years. And by the way, some of them left Egypt, never got into the land of Canaan. Can I tell you that? They died in the wilderness and come short of what God wanted for them. Now, I want to make this allegory tonight and kind of put these together with you. And I hope that you understand this. I've been over many, many times and you've heard me preach it. So I'm just going to say it again by way of remembrance to you. God wanted them in the land of Canaan. They wanted to stay in the land of the wilderness. They was happy to have nothing. God wanted him to have everything. Amen. And somebody said, well, when we die, we're going to get Canaan. Now, listen to me. Let's just look this out. I know some of them died in the wilderness and God buried their carcasses. That's what He called them. He buried their carcasses in the wilderness because they rejected Him and went against Him and talked against Him and forsook God. And so God buried them and raised Him up another crowd, 20 years old. And then with brother, He brought that crowd up to take their place, and God put Him another crowd to take over, and they had problems too. Amen. They've been taught by some good ones. Amen. The old ones didn't teach them exactly right, like we're not teaching our young ones right today. Say amen right there. And so guess what? They died in the wilderness, and some of them made it over in the land of Canaan. Now, Canaan is not heaven. By the way, let me give you, heaven is a place that you and I are going to that are saved by grace. When we leave this walk of life, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Where's the Lord? At the right hand of the Father in heaven. Where did Jesus say He's going? He said, I go away to prepare you a place. Amen. He said, in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He's in heaven. He's at the right hand of the Father. And the Father, He said, where's that? In the sides of the north. Where's that? I don't know. Amen. I just know He's up in glory. Amen. There's nobody ever been there yet. They've never made nothing, I'm talking about, from this earth and come back. Amen. They moved out here and went there, but they're not coming back till He gets ready to bring them back. Amen. And so looking in the Word of God, we'll find out that God wanted them in Canaan. Now Canaan's a type of a joyful life, that you'd have the abundant life where the blessings of God are on you constantly, where that you're enjoying the hand of God daily, constantly, 24/7, and not down in the mouth and griping and grumbling and complaining. Amen. Now, I guess some of you done figured out you ain't got there yet. Amen. Somebody said, I'm living in Canaan now. Amen. I'm going to watch you walk out the door tonight. See if you got any spring in your step and a shout in your soul. You're in Canaan, brother. You're enjoying the things of God. But most of us have never made it to Canaan. Canaan is a type of the glory and the presence of God in your life here on this earth. Not when you die. But it's heaven on earth. Amen. If there's any such a thing tonight. Brother, God teaches us that God wants us to have that abundant joy. Now, let's look at this story. We're looking tonight, this wilderness journey is a type of our pilgrimage that we have had since we've got saved. We, like the Israelites, have been washed in the blood. We've been brought, and brother, the type of the Red Sea is a type of being passed from death unto life. Amen. To the other side, after we've been baptized, amen, I'm talking about born again, baptized, get that in your mind, put the picture in it tonight, coming through the Red Sea is a type of baptism. Coming through the watery grave. We've come out of the watery grave. When we get out of the watery grave on the other side, we're to what? Serve God and work for God and live for God. Is that right? So we see the types and the things out of these scriptures. And so when we get to the other side of the Red Sea, our journey now, we're in the wilderness. We're to serve God. And wherever we're at, whatever we do, it's a type of our pilgrimage. When we get saved, then we're supposed to have a pilgrimage for God. We're walking. You see tonight, saints of God, we don't have no permanent dwelling down here. Amen. You got a little house you live in. You got a little place that you call yours for the time being. You're on the side of the road somewhere with a roof over your head. Thanks be unto God for that. But I'm telling you this much. It's not a permanent home. A child of God has something better. Amen. When this life's over, it's not a permanent dwelling place. So the Bible wants us to constantly be going forward. We already read that in one of the places, to go forward. God wants us to keep going. Amen. The wilderness is God's schoolhouse. While we're in the wilderness, God's teaching us something and how to live. While we're in the wilderness, brother, God tried to teach the Israelites 40 years, had to bury some of them, but finally some of them caught on and got with it. Amen. And went into the land of Canaan. Amen. So you're in God's schoolhouse. In the wilderness, God's trying to teach you how to live. Amen. Some of you may not make it. Now, it's a type of our journey. Sometimes tonight, our journey is not always full of good things. Now, here we are. Looking at chapter 15. I want to show you something. When we're at chapter 15, they're shouting it up. They've done come out of the Red Sea on dry ground. They've done dusted the dust off of their feet. Amen. No mud. Got that, didn't you? They come over on dry land. And they've already looked at Pharaoh's army. And God gives some flat tires on the chariots to stop them. And then covered them up with water and buried them. And they're washing up on the shore. And they're shouting the victory. Hey, what in the world were we thinking about? We just have been on the other side. And on the other side, we were chewing our fingernails. Wondering what in the world is going to take place. And then the man of God said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Hey, we saw His salvation. We are set free. Thank God He's been with us all the way. They're shouting it out. Praise God. Reminds me of these meetings you get into when the preacher can't preach and they're just a shouting and a praising God. I've been in some of them meetings too. Amen. I'd like to see one or two around here every now and then. Don't bother me a bit. Amen. But the thing about it is we can have one of them on Sunday morning and be a pouting on Sunday night. Amen. We can. And so here they are. They're having a time. I mean the women are shouting. The men are shouting. The kids are rejoicing. Everything's going good. See right here, the Bible said in verse 21, and Miriam answered them, sing ye to the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea. Hey, God's been with us. He's blessed us. We're His. Hey, He's brought us through this thing. Now, look at verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out in the wilderness of Shur, and they went. What's that next word? Are you reading with me? What? 3 days. Oh, 3 days. Amen. That's better than some of us. It wouldn't have been 3 hours. But it said, went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Well, I understand that to a degree. When the body's gone 3 days without water, it's kind of thirsty. When the body gets thirsty, it starts crying, whining. Amen. Don't die on me now. I'm down to where the itty-gritty is. Here's where we are. When everything's going on in our direction, we can shout. But when it's not going in our direction, it's not so easy. But now notice what happens. And we'll look at this little story here. Sometimes our journey may take us where there's no water. Sometimes our thirst may not be quenched. Sometimes we're going to find some obstacles in life, some setbacks and some detours. Reminds me of a young girl that sometimes falls in love with a young fella and, oh, they're going to set out to marry and raise a family. And there's nothing, I don't guess, any happier than a young lady that's fell in love with somebody. And she's got high ambitions. Oh, we're going to go to high heights and deeper depths. And they get married and they find out life is not all a bed of ease. Kids come along and financial problems come along and troublous times come along. And when you're marrying one, you got in-laws and you got in-law problems and all that stuff. Amen. So it's not a bed of roses. Hey, sometimes you get out on that new job. Find out that new job is not the best thing. It was cut out to be when you started. You see what I'm saying? So life has not got a real good hope for you sometimes. And you say, hey, why? Because we don't trust those things. That's not where to put our trust. Our trust is to be put in the Lord. What happens to us, we start living for self. We start walking by sight and not by faith. And what happens then, we're never satisfied anymore. If you ever start looking to the Lord and letting the Lord take care of every problem, every trial, every turmoil in your life, and you commit it to Him and say, Lord, I don't know what to do with it. It's Yours. Do something with it tonight. Come hell or high water. Lord, I'm trusting You with all my heart. Unless you do that tonight, you're going to have problems. Amen. Now, I didn't get too many amens off of that. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because you've took a lot of your problems to the Lord. Haven't you? And you are still living with some of them problems. I'm not talking about your husband or wife either. Amen. You still got them problems. And you took them to the Lord several times in your life. Been many times you took them problems to God and laid them on the altar. And you laid them down there and you said, Lord, I want You to do something with this. I'm troubled. I'm in turmoil. And you've taken them problems down there. And then right before you got up, you reached over on the altar, grabbed them and put them back in your pocket, and went back and sat down. Amen. Now, you better amen me. I'll get down and do it myself. I know I'm telling the truth. You know how I know that? Because I've done it so many times. But once you ever get the place that you say, Lord, this is not mine no more. I put it into Your hands. I'm going to depend on You. Whatever comes my way, that's going to be Your perfect will for my life. And I want what You want, and I don't want nothing else but what You want. Whatever comes my way, that's what I'm going to be acceptable with. And God, it's Yours now. Do what You want to it. You'll find out that God will start doing some things with your problems. Some of y'all have told them in your pocket so long that, I don't even like to use this illustration, but I must, I guess, to get... Have you ever seen these fellas that dip that old stuff in out of the real round thing? They carry it in their back pocket. And that you can tell one of them because the back pocket's got the circle. You know what I'm talking about. They've been dipping that old tobacco snuff and they do it, huh? Women do it too. Yeah, they do. I've seen them. And that it tells on them. Some of y'all have toted around some of your problems in your back pocket so long that it's done already. Amen. Spiritually speaking, not physically. Spiritually speaking, put a ring in your pocket. Amen. You got your pocket stuffed with the same problems you've had for years. Amen. Saints of God, I'm telling you the truth. And it's high time that you got rid of those. Now here's what happened. They went to Marah. The Bible said in verse 23, they had no water. And when they came to Marah, or Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah. For they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. That's what Marah means, bitter. They come to the place and they found some water. The water was there, but they could not drink of it. He said, preacher, what do you know about? Have you ever took a hold of the Word of God sometimes and you drunk of the Word of God and you didn't get much relief? It gave you more problems? He said, preacher, I thought if we went to the Word of God, it would solve our problems. It will! It will! It will! It may make you sick first, though. The Word of God will never back you up in your sin. The Word of God will never pat you on the back and say, keep up the bad work. The Word of God will always tell you to get right. Well, guess what happens when the Word of God tells you there's something wrong in your life and your life's not right? Guess what? It don't set good. It goes against the grain. I was always taught that it's easier to cut the wood with the grain. Amen. Or with against the grain, I believe it is. Against the grain. I do know this much. I learned this a long time ago. I cut wood when I was a little boy. And Daddy made me some little sawhorses, and I put them little apple tree logs up there where they trim and cut down them trees. And it was my job, a little bow saw, to keep that wood cut. Mama cooked with it. We heated with it. And I've had great big piles of wood, and just a little cold spell get it all. And I was sorry. Then I found out this, sometimes we'd get a big one. Well, I'd try to bust it. And it'd be a little hard to bust. Didn't have all them fancy things that go devils and all that stuff. Just had a little axe and I couldn't do it. So a few times I've tried to take that bow saw and just saw down and split it. Boy, I'll tell you what, you saw down with it, the way the grains would go, I guarantee you, it's a slow go. Cut it the other way and shavings will just run out of there. Go the other way and boy, you can saw your life away right there and not get nowhere. So it's easier to go with the flow of God and the Word of God. And so when He gets a hold of you and begins to show you your bad things in your life, best thing to do is get down and confess it. That's the hardest thing for us to do. That's why we put our burdens back in our pocket. That's why we go back to the house. That's why we keep on going down the road. And then that's the way it is. We come to Marah. The water is bitter at Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? When you get the place that your burdens are not settled, and when you can't get it all done, and you hadn't committed all over to God, guess what's going to happen? You're going to start griping. You're going to start murmuring, talking about the man of God, talking about the preacher. Amen. I hear these people talking against the preacher. Hear them talking about, everywhere I go, I hear them talking about the church. Talking about the preacher. Every once in a while I find some people that are giving some kind words. It's amazing to me that I've seen some of these little jacklegs, what I call jacklegs, hirelings that won't preach. And they'll say, oh, he sure does preach. But you get one, it'll hammer it down and tell it like it is and shell the corn and won't back up a bit. They look at him and say, boy, he's so dogmatic. He's a weirdo. Where's he coming from? But there they over there patting everybody on the back, squirting a little rose water, and they said, he's a fine man of God. Lives like the devil. Amen. I wouldn't trust him with my silverware. Amen. Hear me. We're seeing that all the time. You with me? And so here it is. They're beginning to murmur. They're murmuring against the man of God. They're murmuring against God. Matter of fact, if you're murmuring against the preacher, you're murmuring against God. God's put the man of God in harness, and he's giving you a preacher to preach the truth, and you talk against him. I guarantee you, you're not just talking against the man of God. You're talking against God. Amen. Now, if you're talking about the way I comb my hair, it might be a different thing. Amen. I'd just be afraid of it. I do know in the Word of God, somebody talked about the bald-headed preacher, and some she-bears come out and eat him up. Amen. I do have a little grace about me. If you talk about me, I ain't wishing no bears get you. Just get right with God and keep going. All right? So we go on down. We find out they're murmuring. They're crying unto God in verse 25. And so God has come in on scene. And so Moses now is doing his crying in verse 25 as well. And he said, Lord, what shall I do? God said, I see that tree. Cut that tree down. Put that tree in there. Throw that tree in. And so he did, and the waters were fine. Made them sweet enough for them to drink. So notice what verse 26 said. Here's what God told Moses to tell him. And said, if thou wilt diligently, I got hung up on that word. Them little words are important. God put them in there, don't he? Amen. Sound like a broken record, didn't it? And God and said, if thou wilt diligently, got that? Diligently. Seriously, I mean, give it all your attention. Diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right, do that which is right in His sight, not ours, and will give ear to His commandments, and keep all His statutes, or all His word. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, when he throwed that tree in, it's a type of the cross. It's a type of the cross. Jesus was nailed to the tree. Now, this is not what he's doing. Now, listen, these people are not getting saved. It's not a type of salvation. You can use it as a type of salvation, God healing the waters. But what this is, God's saying, when you get in the journey, you can't find water, you're thirsty, and instead of griping, look to the Lord. The Lord's going to take care of it. What do? You look back to Calvary, where you got your strength to start with. You're looking back to the cross. Ladies and gentlemen, every day of my life, I must look back to the cross. That's my hope. Mount Calvary is what I need to be looking back to. And when it happens, what's it? Listen, for a tree to be cast in there, it had to be cut down. So a tree had to give its life. It's a type of the Lord Jesus on Calvary giving Himself on an old rugged tree for your soul. You got that? Amen. Ain't you glad tonight that we can look back to that? Now, when you got a problem, our problem is to be taken to the Lord. Not taken to somebody else, but taken to the Lord. Now, that's good. Amen. When I got a problem, I usually try to tell everybody. I want them to know, amen, I want them to help me pray. But God wants us to live by faith, looking back. I ain't got time to get into the other. I just know for sure we're going to get in down to Elam. We ain't got down to Elam. We're still Mara. And I'm going to close right there tonight. I'm tired. Amen. I done give you enough to chew on for a day or two. Amen. And if you'll just do what God's told you to do tonight in the Word of God, that we've done had enough to get right with God. And so guess when they got down to Elam, I'll give you a little preview of it. When they got down to Elam, they had revival and restoration and joy. Amen. How'd they get it? Looking back to Calvary, a type of it. That's where you're going to get your victory. Looking back to the Lord. Not looking to the world, but looking to the Lord. And trusting God with everything. All right. Thank God tonight for His goodness and His mercy. Amen. That's just a little type of the book of Exodus. We could just preach on and on and on. And we're going through this book. Amen. I don't know how long it's going to take us, how many years we'll be here, but anyhow. Maybe the Lord let me live long enough to preach the book of Exodus. Amen. But anyhow, I say tonight, God bless you. God help you. And I hope it's a help to you and a strength to you. Amen. Hopefully you'll get all these messages up on the internet this week. On sermon audio. And we got some up this week. Thank God. We're going to get some more this week. Amen. We've had some trouble with the internet and had some trouble with the preacher. Amen. Both of us have had problems. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. They come to the instruments tonight. I give you a little invitation. He invites you tonight to lay it all over on God. I love studying the Word of God. It means so much to me. It's not just a book to be read. It's a book to be directed by, guided by, led by. It's a book to feed us. God wants us to have the truth tonight. So He's given us a copy of His Word for the truth. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Maybe God spoke to you tonight in some manner, some shape, some form, some fashion. And you know you need to come to the altar and pray. It's open. Do it. Amen. Amen. I pray God touch you tonight. Thank God for His goodness and thank God for His mercy. Thank God for watching over and caring for us. God loves us. I'm glad He does. Nothing too hard for God. There's a whole lot of things hard for me. Amen. But nothing too hard for God. He can do it.